Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's ladies' night here at All About Guitar. We have a full house. I want to welcome back. Actually, this is your second time here, Sister Skinnard. It's great to have everybody here. I'm going to go around and introduce. We also have a hidden guest that's hiding in the back. Andrea Lisa came down and decided to hang with us. So it's a bunch of guitarists, keyboardists, and drummers. So my dear friend, Kathy Lauer, who's been a friend for, it's been about 3 years, 4 years now. Yeah, it's been a little while.
3 years. Yeah.
And she built my pedal board for me. And we're going to talk about their pedal boards in a minute. She's here. Deanna. She's good. Other guitar. Look at this beautiful guitar. I'm jealous. I want that guitar. And Maria's here. And she's the third guitar. So they have three guitars. And I'll take that one, too. And on keyboards, Leah Finkelstein. Hello. It's great to have you on the show.
It's great to be had.
And and on drums, Shannon Millard. And of course, Andrea. So welcome, you guys. It's really great to have you guys on the show.
Thank you.
We have a lot to talk about because you guys have been pretty busy. You were in Europe. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And you got some upcoming gigs. And talking to Kathy, I did get to go and see them rehearse, and I shot some pictures for Kathy. And there's some new equipment that I noticed, especially Kathy with a new speaker cabinet. We're going to talk about that, too. But anyway, let me start out real quick, and I'm going to play a clip. This was live, it was in April, if I'm correct. Did you guys play in April at St. Rock?
February.
God.
Time flies.
It seemed like April. Yeah. But anyway, so St. Rock. They were playing at St. Rock. And so I'm going to play this clip, and I think we'll go ahead. This is Saturday Night Special. This is a little clip so you get an idea of their sound. So that'll give you a little bit idea of the energy and the shredding that's going on in this band. And so anyway, let's start out real quick and talk a little bit first about that show, what you were doing there, what you were using. We'll go through some of the equipment. Then I'm going to take a little tangent and talk a little bit Shannon and Leah about the keyboards and drums. But first, let's talk a little bit about what you guys were using on that show so people get an idea where you're getting that tone.
Well, we didn't have a whole hell of a lot of room on that show because we were opening, which the next time we're going to be there and
do it again,
we're going to be doing the same thing. So I was using my Fender Tone Master with a 212 cabinet and old trusty here. And I think I brought a Strat with me that night, but I was just running pretty much straight in and boosting a little bit off my pedal board, and that was my tone.
Which pedal were you in that lead that you were doing? You were doing the lead in that clip. What pedal were you using to boost it to get that kind of?
I was using my travel pedal board again because of space, and I was using the Exotic SL Drive. I turned the gain all the way off of it, so it was no distortion from the pedal. It was just the volume from the pedal boosting the signal.
So you're basically just putting signal and overdriving the input of the amp.
I just little boosted the tone up a little bit to cut through.
And that amp is, how much, is that 100 watt?
I was running it at 60. It runs 30, 60, and 100 watts. But no, I take that back. I was running at 100 watts because the cab I brought,
because that has a great sound. Even at Soundcheck when she was opening it up bit, it's just amazing. Is that 6L6s in there?
6L6s, yeah.
Or 6L6s.
It's kind of Fender released the Tone Master concurrently with what we know as the Vibro King out there, the one with 310s. They still make the 310 Vibro King, but they long since don't make the Tone Master. I think in the beginning of 2000. You know, they stopped making the Tone Master. It's a kind of like, for certain guitar players out there, Nancy Wilson, and I heard even Jimmy Page, Albert Lee, who comes
Albert
to
Lee,
the,
I know, uses them.
Uses them. Yeah, it's
like a,
those
it's
in
like
the
a
know,
twin on steroids.
It's its own little animal, and it is an animal. Yeah.
No, it gets a great sound. Now, before we move on, I want to talk about what are you going to use. You're using a different cabinet now for this.
I'm going to use the same head, the Tone Master, except now I've been using a vintage Marshall 410 cabinet from the 80s. I think it's a 1965B, so it's a straight cab.
Mm-hmm.
The speakers are stock in it. They're G1035.
She had that at the rehearsal, and it sounds nice.
It sounds.
How do you like the 10s?
I love them because it helps me cut through. Because we have Maria over there. She's using a Marshall with 12s and with her Les Paul. And then, of course, Deanna is using her Mesa Boogie, which is kind of Fendery sound, too. And she uses her Strat. So I fit nicely in the middle of the two, which is what we're going for.
Yeah, because there's a couple of things where you and Maria do double leads. And there's with the three guitars, you need to be able to hear. You can hear the different guitars. They do definitely sound different. So now let's talk about you were using at the St. Rock. You were using a Strat, if I remember.
Yes, it's a like a 76 reissue, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think I used my travel pedal board as well.
Yeah, it was small.
Yeah, which it was small. And that's got the I was using the badass for the distortion. I like my Angry Charlie better. That's on my bigger. That's on the board here, the bigger board.
Yeah, they brought their pedal boards. We're going to take a look at those too.
And I love the Lone Star. It's the Lone Star. So it's 10, 50, and 100. But I think I had it on 50.
50
probably.
With the 212s.
Yeah.
No, it cut through really nice. But now is the amp primarily clean and then you use the pedals to dirty it up?
Actually, we kind of reset that just recently because it has a great clean sound, but I also have a switch.
Yeah, because
a
Lone Star has a great overdrive.
Yeah, she
Deanna dials
in some dirt and then pushes it over the top of pedals.
With the pedals.
Honestly, it sounds really good.
Yeah.
Well, does the Lone Star have channel switching?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a dirty and a clean channel.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so, and we were just kind of, until recently using more of the pedal, but we went more to the amp to give it that sort of in between, not too dirty,
right?
You know, so that it still has a Strat sound, because with all the, you know, the Gibsons,
right,
in the band.
Now, are you going to be using this guitar for the new gigs?
I'm deciding. I might use it on a song or two. It just depends. But locally, yeah, we usually will try and maybe switch some guitars, but it just depends on time-wise and space-wise, because especially the first gig, again, we're going to be in front of another, a whole nother setup, and it's just, it's hard to the more guitars that are on stage.
But the rows should work out.
The rows should work out.
Full on stage,
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think we're going to have a grand piano for our Billy Finkelstein.
Billy Finkelstein. That's right. That'll be really fun. I hope that works out.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to practice on a grand piano to build your hands up?
You know what? That's actually a good idea. And the answer is no. Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Coming over. I have a baby.
I know that that'll help, but I mean, like, if it's like a Steinway, that action's hard. You got to really build your hands up, and it takes a while. And with electronic keyboards, you're using electric piano, you don't have to play so hard. But
that's right.
Is it harder than your upright? Is a grand harder than an upright?
My upright is a little harder than the keyboard that I'm using. So it actually is good to practice on that, because it's like practicing on an acoustic, and then all of a sudden you're on an electric and you're like, woo! But
my acoustic.
Right. But my upright's a little bit harder, but I've played on concert Steinways when I was
in
college.
About. Yeah, they're not easy to play.
They are not. It's a good thing. This is probably the most muscular part of my body.
But I mean, if you haven't been playing, you've been playing electronic keyboards, and you go to piano, the reason I'm mentioning it to people out there too, you can damage your hands. You can really strain them.
You really can. As a matter of fact, that's why I know I'm jumping the gun here, sorry. But I use the Alesis for this band, because the action is a little lighter. Mm-hmm. And Billy Powell is such a, he just slams this, and it's a lot of, that's a honky-tonk, very fast, percussive playing. I also have a Yamaha that I use for other gigs. I like the tone of the Yamaha better, and the action is more like a real piano, but they will destroy my hands if I try to do
Billy Powell. Weighted keyboard is hard. But the weighted keyboard to me isn't like it's heavy, but it doesn't have that feel of like a grand action.
Right, right. But I have to have a weighted, but there's a grade of weighted, so the Alesis is weighted.
No, it's a good way to build your hands, but she's doing like these trills and
crazy.
She's like doing this kind
of
stuff.
And all of a sudden your hand becomes a claw. It's like, oh God, he's a good player.
But I mean, it takes a lot out of you. It's strenuous.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that on a real piano.
No, it takes some doing.
So that should be fun. That'll be great, a real grand piano.
That'd be super fun. I feel like I need to get a white jacket to go along with that.
Now, Maria, you use this guitar on on that Saint Rock recording. It's this Les Paul.
Yes.
And you're using a Marshall with the 212s.
Yeah, it's a JCM 800, 212.
What is that, a 50 or 100 watt?
It's a 50.
50 watts.
Yeah.
So that's a nice tone. That's like...
It's still loud.
Well, everything's loud. No, that's true. But it worked really well. The blend was pretty well. I mean, even were you in the rehearsal studio when we were opening it up, it really worked. It worked really fine. Now, let me ask you guys quick, and then we'll get to I want to get to the keyboards and drums. When you worked in Europe where you had backline, was the approach more keep the amps clean and use the pedals to dirty up your sound? All three of you pitch in. I mean, how did you approach that? And what were your feeling about the backline? Did it work for you? Was it a problem? How did you guys deal with it?
Well, I kept mine pretty clean for every amp I used and used my pedals until I didn't have my pedals anymore. That was in Belgium.
Until it blew up.
Yeah, until it blew up. And then I was plugging straight in and getting the amp tone.
Now, the reason that it had blown up was basically there was some... they didn't have
human
the
error.
Voltage. Yeah.
Let's just say human error.
yours, but...
Not mine, but... someone unplugged it, and you know, if you don't look carefully and you plug something American into those two holes in a European without really looking carefully, it could, at first glance, it looks like it's a regular plug.
Yeah, because we're used to 110 here and it's 220, and yeah, that's what we're talking about. It'll
and
fry it.
It made 2 points of contact and poof, gone.
Yeah.
But fortunately, it was only the power supply. The pedals actually were spared, so it probably just completely fried the
power supply probably acted as a buffer.
Yeah.
You blew up the power supply, so your pedals were spared. You
yeah.
didn't go direct. Now, the new pedal boards that you're using, we'll take a look at those in a minute. Those are those set up for multi-voltage?
My new one is set up for multi-voltage.
So you just can switch it yourself.
Right.
You don't
right.
have to worry about an adapter.
And I'm going to make sure.
Oh, you were going to switch mine out.
I'm going to switch Deanna's out.
To make it also.
And when we finally corral, wrangle, strangle, and put Maria in a corner and get her a pedal board, you're going to make sure, too.
I have pedals.
She has pedals.
She has
pedals. We'll play.
We'll just want to have the correct ones.
She so has a pedal here, pedal
well,
there.
We don't,
pedal
here, pedal we don't, there, we don't know if they're not correct. We just have to listen to them. But we're going to get Maria's situation.
I'll consult the Oracle.
Well, so you didn't use pedals on the tour.
No, I went direct.
So you always crank the amp up?
Pretty much. Also, I used my Les Paul Special, which was a reissue. It was a 2007 reissue of 50s. It was a TV yellow. It's basically a plank. This is Active Electronics. And
but what amp primarily? Did they give you a Marshall?
Different ones.
I had Marshall.
Because she plays pretty dirty in the, from what I heard on the show. No, I don't mean that in a
I play dirty. Don't let the angelic face fool you.
I get away with a lot.
Yeah, you should room with her, too.
But, I mean, you play with a lot of distortion, so the amps were able to give you that?
Yeah, Kathy helped me with that.
Whatever's on that side of the back line, I would usually defer and let Maria take the stuff with the more gain in it, and I play the cleaner amp because I could use my pedal board. So we just work it out that we're always flexible.
So you and Deanna would use the pedals to get
mostly,
whatever.
Yeah, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was interesting. Yeah, that's cool.
No, and we were pretty lucky. We had good backline.
And the only time we ever really had an issue was in Sala. And we're not making this up either. We were playing That Smell, and there was a That Smell.
We were all like, what's burning?
Something sounded
like it was on
Who's
fire.
Who's on fire?
And
what's
one of
that
the amps
smell?
Was on its way to blowing up. It was a Marshall, a newer Marshall.
What about the backline for the drums? Wasn't it a weird snare or something? Did you have
not there.
Oh, it wasn't there. That was somewhere else?
That was at the 66.
Oh, in Belgium.
Yeah, Belgium. Yeah,
okay.
That set was, a disaster. the dust on it was like about this thick.
It was like, oh, there's a drummer coming. Yeah. I guess we better bring it.
Clean it off.
That original sheepskin.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, that place.
Just tune it up a little bit. Yeah, it was cool.
They have a lot of gear there.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
he has a lot of equipment. You go
1954.
Yeah.
Well, it was primarily Marshalls that they would give you, right?
He had Marshalls, but he had a lot of Fender stuff there, too.
Oh, so
yeah, and he had a lot of PA gear, and he had, you know, different bass amps and stuff. I mean, he's used to doing this, but
yeah, he had a lot of gear.
I can't even remember what I played out of at Spirit of 66. I don't even remember what amp I played out of.
Well, I know, but Maria was out of a Fender. You were using a Fender because almost used it. But I said, no, let Maria, because I had my pedal board, and then I didn't have my pedal board. But you had something with gain in it. You had a Marshall, I think, because at one point, you offered your pedal board to me.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, that's right. And I was going to go straight through because it was fried.
Yeah, and I had like a vintage JCM 800. And even on the low input setting, I would have split everyone's ears open to try to get any gain out of it. It was just way too loud. So there was just no way I could turn that amp up and without, like, ooh, you know. the audience in there. So,
well, let me ask you then, overall, in terms of being a tribute band, where you're basically recreating that sound that they—that's a pretty iconic sound. How hard is that to do? Because you're not using their vintage amps; you're using a lot of different amps and a lot of pedals and similar guitars, but sometimes not. How difficult is it? And that's going to lead up to—I'm going to lead up on a question for Shannon on her set, on her kit. But how is it hard to do that, to get that sound?
It takes some decisive planning to do it. It is difficult because modern equipment, their sound came from turning it up. Because in those days, in the 70s, yeah, turn it up. in the 70s, they were playing huge stadiums, huge halls that required the backline to turn it up, because not everything was always mic'd. So in order to sort of recreate that clean type of, even though you're using distortion, it's clean. And I know that's kind of sounds like an oxymoron there, but the gain is articulate. It is not fizzy, fuzzy,
muddy.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of mush.
Every note is heard, even though there is overdrive going on from the amplifiers. So we have to try to recreate that with modern equipment, and that means dialing it back and looking for a cohesive blend with whatever guitar is going in. And, you know, we like to do sidebars where we take our backline with us and actually rehearse 2 or 3 hours, turning it up to see what that blend sounds like. We'll actually go rent time to do that, aside from the regular band, just the guitar players, so we can mm-hmm. work those tones out. So when we get there, we get a little bit closer. It's always a work in progress.
Yeah. No, you're.
I mean, considering Kathy spent, you know, her whole life perfecting this and knows so much about all of their sound, we just defer to Kathy, the oracle.
The oracle.
the last guitar rehearsal we had, which was like a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
It was great.
The guitars were sounding really good. Maria's tone was just. I mean, you could hear her really well. Deanna with the Strat, we just made adjustments there. She was popping out, and the three just really blend together, which is really what the real
Yeah, that's not easy. When you're playing that blown out and there's three of you, it gets full real fast. And then you still have keyboards. Now, albeit you're way up there on the tinkles, you're right. Like way up there.
That's right. Yeah. But so, the tinkles got to cut through.
Yeah. And they do. And they do. And they do. Well, I'm going to play an edited clip. So you guys are going to go, hey, I don't remember the song playing like this. But I put together two parts of where you guys are doing the leads. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the tone. Because, again, on this one, too, besides listening to all the guitar parts, which are amazing, check out the drums on this, and then we're going to talk to Shannon a little bit about her drums. So here's, this is Give Me Three Steps, and this is an edit of two parts.
Okay, that was too fast.
I didn't speed it up.
I know.
Now, And also, the drum sound was amazing. Did they mic you on that gig?
They did, yeah. They did a great job.
I mean, those toms and that snare and kick drum are just in your face.
He did a great job on miking the whole thing.
Yeah.
And actually miked the cymbals from underneath, because like, we were kind of worried that, you know, wait a minute, there's no cymbal mics. And then we like realized he actually miked them from underneath.
Which is actually better, because that's it actually projects down.
Yeah.
No, so,
and it really caught it.
And
it
to the side. The hard part is don't put them to the side of them because they're vibrating so much. They phase a lot. But no, it sounded good. Now, let me ask you, you're using, first of all, tell us what your kit is, because that's a cool kit.
It's so cool.
Well, you saw the kit at the rehearsal, which is a DW collector set, which is an Ash Burl set that I just got this past year, and it's just beautiful. And I use Evan heads on the top and bottom. The EC2s on the top and the E2 on the bottom, resonant heads. And but an Outlaw snare drum, which the Outlaw snare drum is made out of reclaimed wood. And it's just like the reclaimed wood is from like old barns, old homes, old churches that tore down in the South years ago. And they've made these drums that are just like, you know, it's a very, very heavy drum.
So that's a wood snare.
That's a wood snare. And I don't carry that. And that's the snare on this tape here. I carry that snare locally. I don't carry it to Europe because it weighs too much.
Right. But I mean, it sounded almost like a brass snare. It was really cut.
Yeah. No, it's an 8.5-inch all wood
snare.
Oh, it's
a big one.
Yeah, it's a big snare. It's deep.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about, in terms of Lynyrd Skynyrd, what did he use? And is there anything you're doing particularly to get his sound? Because he was using, you mentioned
Ludwig. Yeah.
Ludwig.
Well, actually, I do have a Gretsch set. He's currently using, Artemis is currently using a Gretsch set. And on that set, I use vintage heads. Evans also makes a vintage head, which is like a thick ply. But on the DW, the Evans EC2s, which are kind of like a hydraulic head, give it more of a deep resonant to mimic the 70s sound.
Okay.
It gives it that really deep tone and, you know, that overtone that just lasts just enough, because on his Ludwig set, he didn't use bottom heads most of the time.
Right, and most people didn't.
Yeah, back then. But that tone you can't control as much today with the type of heads that they offer. So having that, you know, E2 on the bottom really gives a definite tone. And then with the DW set, it has this true tone lugs that are just way too long to, like, manually turn on. So you use, like, a drill bit almost to, like, to get it halfway down, and then you do it finger the rest of the way. But it's just
You have the bottoms on your heads. What's the – we used to record a lot when I had an old Ludwig set, and we used to take the bottoms off because it would – you know, they would stick the mics up there.
Yeah.
But do you find that with the bottom head, does it ring more?
It gives a little bit more tone because the hydraulic on the top is a little bit more deadening. So you actually bring a lot more of the tone from tuning the bottom head. So I spend a lot of work dealing with the bottom heads on a regular basis, and then also the top. And then with the DW kit that they currently have with the, especially the collector's kit, the true tone, I guess the rods, they're like 50 threads, so they're substantially longer than a normal lug. So it takes longer to change a head. It's like it's a whole day process to change your drum heads.
Wow.
Just because they're just so long. It's like turn. Oh, now I'm to the finger point. You know, so it really takes a long time, but they stay in tune because of that. So it gets that, you know.
So the longer lug nut gives you more stability.
Right, because it's finer, so it doesn't twist as much.
Now, in how do you approach his, I mean, how would you describe his playing and how, in terms of you're emulating what he's doing, you're trying to get his tone, you're trying to get his sound and also his groove to keep them going. So,
You know, I would classify his left foot as loose. He's got a loose foot. If you listen to his hi-hat, normally a player will, you know, open it on a distinct note. He just kind of keeps it loose every time he hits it. You know, it's just like, you know, on 1/4, 3, you know, just it's.
So it kind of swishes.
He's got a sloppy left foot, which is his style. And so I try to emulate that because it's just, you know, it's random, but it's very specific because now that, because we play the same set with regards to One More from the Road for the most part, I know exactly where he's got that loose left foot. And so putting that in there along with his, you know, he does a lot of 32nd notes on his fills, randomly with his 16th and 8th note fill, so he just like fills it in. Once you get that with that loose foot, it just kind of gives his flavor.
Mm-hmm. The now also too, the your kick drum is real solid. Was he a pretty heavy foot for that?
He was, and he also played double bass drum, even though there's very few songs you actually hear him playing double bass except for the very ends. So I use a double a DW 900 series double bass mm-hmm. pedal, and I use it constantly on every ending of every song, but then also on Crossroads. There's a one specific part that's just double bass.
Now, would he sync a lot with the bass, or does he just kind of do his thing?
He also plays a lot on the guitars. So he's got, it's not a pattern that is meshed with the bass player, which is kind of actually my style. So I also listen to the guitar player because in a band that I started years ago with, it was just a guitar player and I. So that was my focus. And then it's like, oh, bass player, well, whatever. Okay. So, but our, you know,
it's
Artemis.
Good thing Lisa's not here.
No. You absolutely got it. Like, that's where the track is.
You didn't hear that, Lisa.
But where the accents and so forth go, you play the track with the bass, and then you accent with the lead guitar player, and then the whole band, and try to mesh it all together.
Yeah.
I also, on the bass drum, my front head is so loose that I don't know if you guys noticed at rehearsal, it's kind of gone where the headliner's up top, it's like moved to the side, it's so friggin' loose. So it gives it, you know, and playing with a, you know, a solid mallet on the bass pedals gives it that just, you know, deep thump that just comes out on the other side. Just
so
like,
the loose front one, how tight is the back one?
Well, the batter head is really loose, and the front head's tighter actually than the batter head.
Oh, really? So you're using a very loose batter head on it.
Yeah, very loose batter
head. But it's interesting because you're still getting a pretty tight kick drum.
That's because of the resonant head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the resonant head is the one
really
that kind of controls
tight.
The tone.
I've played with drummers using the loose head to like get that like Bonham,
yeah,
where you get that kind of ringy type of bass. Boom, boom, yeah.
Tighten up the resonant head and, you know, do a little padding inside. Yeah, that will give that.
But I have to Lisa's credit, too, you can hear it in the song. I've worked with her before. She's such a, she's
amazing.
So tight.
Oh, my God.
And
amazing.
She just solidifies it. So she was kind of working. I think, I would suspect, she's not here to answer, but I would suspect she's listening to what you're doing because she really followed you a lot, too.
There's so much that has to be right on between her and I, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we accent and complement what's going on with the guitars.
Also the rhythm guitars, too. I'm hooked in a lot to Lisa, and I hook in a lot on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it was interesting, because when I saw you guys at the rehearsal, Lisa wasn't there. Yeah. It was just the guitars.
Yeah.
And it was pretty full and pretty tight. I was amazed. I thought I would be hearing a big hole, and it wasn't that. It was pretty full, which is a compliment to what you guys are doing.
We've had to rehearse with missing players sometimes. With 7 people, it's hard to get this
all
together.
It was pretty full. I mean, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
So, now, Leah, let's talk a little bit about your rig.
Oh, thank you. My rig, I have an Alesis QS 8.1.
Okay.
And it's a little old.
Okay.
I bought her in Boston. And she is just a good, she's a good road hog, you know? She's just a good, comfy playing piano.
Now, did you take that with you to Europe? No, you didn't go to
I'm a newbie.
You're a newbie.
I'm the newbiest.
Is the Alesis that big honking thing?
Yeah.
Now, would you take it with you, or would you back on?
We're all saying no. We're not going to let her.
Putting the kibosh on that.
She needs a smaller one.
We'd be charged $1,000 just to carry that on the plane.
I don't know what keyboards they have over there, but there is a big difference. I mean, that's not easy.
Yeah, I schlepped that thing over snowbanks in Boston when I was playing gigs. I mean, that thing just is, it's been with me for a while. But I also have a Yamaha, which is heavier, so we won't take that either. Mm-hmm. But I was actually looking at some smaller...
We are accepting donations for a new Nord.
No, it's a good, you know. But I do like a lighter action for this particular band because of the way Billy Powell plays. Which is very fast percussive honky tonk, like we were saying, and if it's mm-hmm. a stiff action, I'm a mess, you know.
Well, the Alesis has the top end. That's another thing. A lot of electric pianos don't have that frequency response.
You
have, the real expensive ones do, but the samples are just not there. So when you get up to the top keys, it doesn't cut.
It's true. It's true. And so, and it has a decent piano sound, and it's got a good Hammond sound. So there are a couple of, what's the song with the Hammond in it?
Simple Man.
But it's got a really decent sound for that. So it's helpful.
Now, does it allow you on the keyboard? Are you able to do the Leslie games where you do the fast Leslie, slow Leslie, or is it?
I think there's a knob where you can kind
does
of.
Does he do that? Did he play with the Leslies or did he?
I think he did play with the Leslies.
Because that's a key part of that sound, is the fast rotor, slow rotor.
The slow rotor, yeah. So, I don't. I just sort of play the patch.
Not yet.
But I think that there's a way to do that. So, between that and getting the Moog, these are the sounds I need to work on. But I'm so used to playing. I've always been a piano player, and I have not played a whole lot of organ. But, studying the way he did it, because he switched back and forth all the time. So it's been good. It's been good to learn. So,
yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of it is in the background. The keyboards are behind all the guitars a lot of times. So you're almost doing pads sometimes when you're doing some fills. Whereas the piano, he's playing more rhythm, more percussive.
That's more involved.
I guess it depends on the song. Like Poison Whiskey.
Oh, that's a thing. That's huge. Yeah.
The organ is really prominent because he does these sweeping licks, and we got to hear him.
That's a doozy. That song's a doozy. So it's. I mean, honestly, I've been playing the piano for a long time, and being in this group has made me a better piano player in a short amount of time. You know, learning the way he particularly plays, which is just different. And I've played these songs in bands before, but in cover bands where you're not doing an actual tribute. So, you're kind of...
You're loose. It's not as...
It's loose. Right. You're playing, you're like, it's, Sweet Home. I've played Sweet Home Alabama a million times, but I've never played it note for note. And then when you go to play it note for it, you're like, I've been playing that wrong for 20 years. Or 10 years.
Only 10.
So it's been interesting to unpack these songs and really learn the specific ways that he, he would solo. And rhythmically, he does very interesting with, what's the other one
I Ain't the One.
I Ain't the One is another one.
And Call Me the Breeze.
They Call Me the Breeze. Yes. I can't think of anything tonight, apparently. But They Call Me the Breeze. T for Texas. They Call Me the Breeze was one of the first ones that I unpacked, and I've played that a million times before, but never his solo note for note. And
that was your audition tape with us, actually.
Yeah.
If she can get it right, okay.
Yeah. I noodled the way I noodled, and I soloed the way I solo. And then when you have to do it note for note the way he did it, and the different rhythmic structure that he puts into his solos, I'm like, well, my hand has never done that before. Let's give this a try. And it's been awesome. It's been such a great way to get my chops up and to learn a different way and a different style.
And we made her do the live version, too, which is even harder.
It's more fast.
It's fast.
And it's fast.
So it's a good thing I had the Elisa.
He was using a B3.
Was he basically a clean sound, or did he dirt it up?
No, it was pretty much clean.
Yeah,
it was clean, so that makes it a little easier.
Yeah,
it's hard to get that dirty B3 sound without
having
using
an actual thing.
That's our job.
Yeah,
you're the dirt patrol. But that's interesting. So, and then you just run in direct, and then you have a monitor amp, a little monitor.
I have a monitor. I have an old Fender. A keyboard monitor that I use that I bought in the Caribbean randomly, and it's just stayed with me ever since.
Wow, so. This girl buys international.
So I was playing some gigs there, and I was like, I need a little amp. And those Fenders, they last forever, and it just is kind of...
I thought you had a PV the other night.
I did. It is a PV. I said PV. I can't think of anything tonight. It's a PV. That's right. So I got the PV... That's what I've been using for the keyboard. So yeah,
and everything else is in the keyboard. You don't have any other effects, or you're not using anything.
Nope. I was looking for some different sound cards, but it's an older Alesis, so it's been a little harder to get my hands.
She needs to try the Electro Harmonix, the George L, the Leslie.
Oh, the Lester?
Lester, that's it, the Lester. See, I can't remember either.
Right. Contagious. It's contagious, right?
The Lester's cool. It's really cool.
That'd be fun.
It's a Leslie, stereo Leslie. You need two cabinets, but it doesn't sound great. But you can do the trick with the...
See, that's fun.
We got your budget spent for the next year. I know, right?
Hey. Right? We're going to do a GoFundMe.
Let's think about guitar players. We know how to spend your money.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time, but I want to... let's pop up the pedal boards real quick. Okay. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about what you did here. I'll hold your guitar and basically keep this forever.
Okay.
This is a great little... This has a nice neck.
You told them the story about the pickups, right?
I've told that story before.
Wait,
but I'll
you
tell
have to
it
listen
again.
To the other... go ahead while we're setting up. You can tell the story.
My God, it's so dusty. I'm a little bit dusted off. I'm embarrassed. I should have given you a clean wash before the show.
Your mother's going to be watching this, and she's going to be calling you.
Okay, I'll tell the story. A few years ago, we had a fan, and we'd done a CD, and they wanted the copy of the CD, and they wanted a T-shirt, and they wanted some swag and stuff. And this guy says, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a pair of pickups from Gary Rossington's Les Paul, and in exchange for the shirt and the CD." And I said, "All right, we'll give you the shirt." We sent it off. So I didn't know if I was going to get the pickups. I didn't know if this guy was for real or what. Lo and behold, here comes a package with a couple of pickups yanked out of a Gibson guitar, because they are Gibson 490s. I put them in there, and they are not stock 490s. They are definitely hotter. They've got more gain than a typical Gibson 490. Are they really Gary's? I don't know, but I choose to believe he was on a level, and he did. They were definitely yanked out of something. Because
That's the sound that you're hearing on those clips that I played.
You are definitely hearing that guitar on those clips. This guitar is... traveled all over the country and all over the world with
I had a heart attack when she told me she took this on the plane in the luggage. Now she has a good case for it, but I'm still like,
yeah.
It's a 1986 Gibson, like a 62 reissued SG standard, and I think it works really well for this band, because I can still do humbuckers, but because you don't have the mass of a Les Paul, you get a little bit thinner.
Well, it's the mahogany. It's all mahogany.
Yeah, it's a slab of wood, and you get a little bit of, you know.
But this
brighter.
Neck is nice. It's like an old 60s neck. It's rounded and thin.
And all that wear on there, folks, that's all me. There's considerable wear.
This needs a wax job. There's grunge on it.
Yeah.
I was thinking
We call that mojo.
but when I'm like, I noticed on my guitars when I would do it, it's hard
Sticks.
To move. Unless you use slick, that guitar slick or whatever.
I don't know.
But this is it sounds great. All right, let's talk about
I think we're going to give her guitar a spa day.
Yeah.
Let's give her guitar a spa day.
Keep numbers on it, set stuff.
I'm going to sit here and nurture this guitar.
Wax it.
A little wax. A little steam.
Okay,
do
me a favor and kind of pop these up so they can see what you're using. The camera's there.
Okay.
All right, so. Or here, actually, do you want me to hold that? I'll switch with you. Let me put the guitar right here first. And I got it. Oh. All right. Okay, so this is Kathy's setup. So tell me what's new and improved.
I pared my big pedal board down because I had some bigger, larger pedals on there. I actually, to be honest with you, I built Deanna's pedal board here. I got extremely jealous and had to have the same thing. It is, it's a total green with envy. But no, I like the size of Deanna's when I built it, and I go, I really like to do that too. So I decided what I absolutely need and put it on there, and wah, even though we only use the wah for one song, which is
Needle. She's a good wah player too.
It's
a Buddha.
Buddha wah, which I modified too.
Polytune too.
Polytune tune, yeah, because it's
cute. And then you have a Mobius.
Mobius Strymon. And a Strymon L-cap. I use this for, like, Call Me the Breeze, a phase shifter sound. And, like, part of, I don't even know if the band's noticed lately, but I've been using the chorus, like, when we get to that smell, like, now they call you Prince Charming part. Because yeah. They actually used the chorus on the record. So I kick it in right there so it has that tonal quality of that. And then I just set, like, a really quick slap on my L-cap
here. L-capistan.
Apple capistan. And sometimes I'll kick that on for Freebird. It'll fatten it up.
This is a real, if you want to get close to an Echoplex, this thing that's really cool about it is you can make it warble, and you can basically dial in how degraded the tape head is. So it sounds like an old Echoplex. This thing is, it's used, a lot of people have been using it, though there's newer delays now that have this in it that Strymon makes. But this thing, if you like an Echoplex, that's the closest I've seen.
And this pedal here is the, it's called an Archer by J Rocket. It's a clone of a clone. I have a real clone.
A clone.
I had a real clone on my bigger board, but I just retired it. It's, you know, it's too expensive to take out anymore. And then I use an overdrive for when we have clean amps, you know. And this is a boost pedal I use, just that has a buffer, and I leave it on all the time with the buffer.
Mm-hmm.
This is for using two different amps. That where your hand is a looper. I built this looper right here. This is just a bypass looper for the, takes the wah in and out.
And what's this?
And this is just to, I built this pedal too. This is just to channel switch my Tone Master. And that's my pedal board.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Isn't it? And it's so lovely. She.
So
work
this is
so
this will
clean.
Be what you'll take on the road to Europe too, right?
I can take it. And it actually will fit in an overhead compartment now. So.
And this will.
And it's European friendly for the.
Dual voltage. And I'm going to flip it around so you can see. Tone Zone LA's efficient use of wiring. Look at that. It's
real
clean.
She's amazing.
Very clean.
It's very
clean. It's amazing.
Okay, now.
Really clean. My little one has space. There's still more
room
that
to
needs
grow.
To be room to grow.
Don't worry about that. We'll fill that
up.
Yeah,
we can fix that problem.
So
she.
I have. Mine is very basic.
Well, you got the same overdrive.
That's an Angry Charlie.
Is that
the
same?
Yeah, that's a JHL. Yeah.
That's an Angry Charlie. This is an extremely
angry Charlie. Charlie is pissed.
Severely pissed off. Not so pissed off, Charlie. Okay.
Yeah. So, so basically, you know, I'll kind of pop that on when I want to, like, there's certain times when I just want to punch through, like, for the harmonics and needle and the spoon, and but still have it be a little dirty, and then, T for Texas on a couple of those little leads, just so that it pops through a little bit more, and then I've got the Wampler little mini boost. That's got a buffer on it as well.
Phase 90 and a tremolo.
And then the tremolo.
And then this is a foot switch for the Mesa, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then a chromatic tuner.
Yeah, and then my tuner. And but mine is not set up for dual voltage yet. We're gonna convert her.
But you would use this if you went back to Europe.
Actually, I think your power supply actually could convert automatically to 220. I'll have to check, but that power supply actually may
convert to 220.
Really? Can you make my curling iron do that?
I can't. I cannot.
Oh yeah,
can I my blow dryer, curling, please.
My curling wire. My curling iron blew up over there.
Oh, yeah, there's a switch right here.
To find a curling iron.
Yeah. So yours is already your
a switch right there. So there's a switch. You can't see it here, but there's a switch that goes from 115 to, I think, 220 on here.
220.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
My nails are not big enough to
okay,
switch
so
it.
Okay, so I'm good. So I'm good.
You're set.
Yeah. So, yeah, and again, it's, I don't know if I would take that. Now we're saying, well, I don't know, because now we have all different ideas of how we're going to pack to travel to Europe. I think we might take apart. Kathy was talking about, like, taking apart the guitars.
Well, she had told me about
actually,
that. One guy, actually, what he does is he takes, like, a Strat and takes the neck off and puts the guitar.
So that it can go in his suitcase.
It's
got to look for economical ways to travel. Because they kill you in baggage.
But I don't know. If you're using amps that you don't know and you can get all your tone out of this, to me, it's like invaluable, and it fits up in the
Yeah, for sure. The thing is that my mini one has, because honestly,
what's the difference between this and the mini?
Well, I don't have the Phase 90.
More pedals.
Yeah, I don't have the Phase 90. I don't have the.
You don't need that.
And I wouldn't need that because I'm playing on somebody else's backline. And then I've got a mini tuner, and then a different. I wish I would have just gotten another JHS pedal, but
oh,
I got
okay.
The badass is okay.
There's a smaller Phase 90. There's a little.
There is,
one.
But I don't really use it as much. I don't use it, and I'm not really using my tremolo because
so you don't really need it.
Because
yeah.
We don't really do
coming
home.
Coming home in a while.
That's really coming home is really mostly what I use that for, and we haven't done that on the road
very much.
Not yet.
Her smaller one's small.
It's just one rack. The smaller ones are like nano.
Just half this size.
Yeah,
it's that size.
And there's really cool things I want to show
because Kathy is so
Andrea
cool.
Has seen this. These are locking, so when you put your guitar in, if somebody kicks or pulls your cord,
steps on it, it won't come out.
They're locking.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
And hers, I think, has a lamp in it, right, with a battery power. It lights up.
Oh, this does. Yeah, this has a for the 2 foot switches right there.
Okay.
For the wah and this, it has. I just put these on a separate battery and not in, so they don't pop.
Okay.
When you turn them on, because all they are is switching things on and off.
We're out of time. Can you believe it?
Oh my god!
And I just got into the pedals, but that's okay. Anyway, tell us real quick where you guys are playing, what's going on, how to get info on you, the website, all that
stuff. Friday, May 17th, we will be in Hermosa Beach at St. Rock. We are, doors open at 6. Tickets are $18. You can get them on strock.com on their website. And we're playing with Rumors, which is a Fleetwood Mac, so it's going to be a great night of 70s music. And then
Sunday night,
we're
May
at the Rose.
19th, we're at the Rose. We are headlining that show.
At the Rose. Again, doors open at 6.
At 6, yeah.
Tickets are $25, but you can save service fees by buying them on our website, which is sisterskinnerd.com. SKINNERD.
No, SKISTYRSKIN-NERD.
Yeah, but even if you just put SKINNERD, the website.
Sisterskinnerd.com.
Yeah, it'll come up.
But it's true. You got to put the hyphen in there.
You can find them and find us, and we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much
for
coming
down.
It's really.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm jealous. I want these pedal boards. Andrea, are you getting ideas now to build your pedal board? You got to build one.
They just look so beautiful.
They really are clean. You got to see her drum set and her keyboards too. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I'm going to take us out with a clip from Call Me the Breeze, and I did an edit on this one too, so the ending is a little different than what you had planned. But everybody have a great week, and hopefully I'm planning on going to the Rose, so if you see me running around with my Sister Skinner shirt, come and say hi. And everybody else have a great week, and we will see you next week. Thank you again, girls. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Jane.
Here we go.
Thank you so much.
Here's Call Me the Breeze.